Good morning, Real Life Church. Wonderful to be with you this morning. And who wants to hear something in their own personal lives from the Lord this morning? Well, would you do something to position yourself to receive? Father God, this morning I pray that every person sitting in this room would have a personal encounter with you. Father God, I pray that you would speak directly into every heart, that every heart will be encouraged, every heart will be challenged this morning by the power of your words. Lord, let this not be another sermon, but let this be a rhema, a revelation word to every heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Fantastic. Well, don't forget, Pastor David forgot to tell you about our ladies' event coming up on Thursday, the 16th of April. It's going to be a great night. Pastor Tracy McCourt from Encounter City is going to be speaking. It's just going to be a great girls' night out together right here. You can ask me more about that later. Last Sunday, Pastor David shared a very challenging and powerful message on Samson called Keep Your Hair On. For those of you who may not have been able to be here, it is actually available on our church website. It's not a title you'll forget easily, Keep Your Hair On. And interestingly, during the week after I'd heard about Samson and his great strength, I heard about a guy called Joe Greenstein, who was Polish and immigrated to Texas. Now, he had an incredible physical strength, much like Samson, but not necessarily given by God. And so the story goes that while Joe Greenstein, 5'4", is working at a service station, the very famous Harry Houdini, the famous magician, and his manager happened to be driving past through that town, and they got a flat tire. And so they asked Joe to change the tire without any tools and without asking the people in the car to step out of the car. Joe lifts the car with one arm, changes the tire with the other arm. The manager is so astounded, he offers Joe a show. And Joe becomes the amazing Atom and could bend steel spikes, horseshoes with his bare hands. Now, there he is up on the screen. Now, that's in, you know, you can find that in all those books that record amazing things. But the account of Joe Greenstein speaks of incredible physical strength. Now, there's all sorts of strengths that each one of us have. And Solomon, for example, in the Bible, had another strength, but his strength came in God-given wisdom that helped people to make godly wise choices. And there is a strength in you, there is a strength in me that we can choose to bring to our world. And it's when we have a personal revelation, a but God, a suddenly and a ha moment where we understand that you as an individual have been given a divine purpose and destiny, that you and I were born to be a world changer in our generation, to not just live an ordinary life but an extraordinary life under the hand and with his ability of our amazing God. We're shown this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Then we see in Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. For he chose us, I'm going to read that again, for he chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his presence. In love, he predestined us for adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. But you know, so often through our lack of belief that God is within us, we can see God in everybody else, but sometimes we don't have that real know that we know that He wants to empower us to achieve incredible things for Him and that He has a plan and a purpose. And sometimes our own lack of self-esteem, sometimes we've been told lies about ourselves that make us feel like we're disqualified. And self-doubt can sabotage what God has for you in your life. But God has in mind something absolutely magnificent for your life. There's a quote from Edward Everett, and it says, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something." Yeah. Steve Maraboli says, "Never question the power of one. Throughout history, it has been the actions of only one person who has inspired the movement of change." Such was the power and the influence of William Wilberforce, who was the son of a wealthy merchant, a Cambridge graduate, and he became a member of Parliament. But what happened in William Wilberforce's life was he had an personal encounter with Jesus that completely transformed his lifestyle. And Wilberforce becomes so burdened and moved by the slave trade that was operating in Britain at that time in history that he lobbies tirelessly for the abolition of the slave trade. And for 18, say that to the person next to you, 18 long years, he regularly introduces slavery motions in Parliament to bring about a change. Now, the background to this cause that he just kept on fighting for was that British ships were carrying slaves from Africa in the most shocking, terrible conditions to the West Indies as goods to be bought and sold. Human lives were being treated like commodities. And by the late 1700s, the economics of slavery, there was so much corruption, there was so much buy-in that there were many that felt that nothing could ever be done about this. It was so entrenched into society of the day. But this one man, William Wilberforce, refuses to quit despite the opposition that came so fiercely from planters, slave merchants, and all of the other factions that were benefiting from this slave trade. His own life was threatened many, many times, but he didn't shrink back. He stayed the course, seeking to completely eradicate slavery. Now, here's the amazing thing. The years go on, and 3 days before he dies, he hears that slavery in England has finally been abolished. But here's the incredible aspect to William Wilberforce, is that throughout his whole life, he had extremely bad health, so much so that he would go for weeks at a time, completely bedridden and in absolute agony. So here's this ordinary guy. He's got his own huge personal challenges, but he refuses to quit. He keeps persevering with a cause that changed the course of history. Historian G.M. Trevelyan says the abolition of slavery, and he describes it as one of the turning events in the history of the whole world. One. And so my message this morning to you is called The Power of One. Fast forward to this century, and a broken young Greek girl called Christine Kane comes into the Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia, and is transformed through a personal encounter with Jesus, and she starts a movement called the A21 Campaign. This is an organisation that combats human trafficking, which equates to modern-day slavery. She is now 54 years of age, and she has started a battle which may not be won in her lifetime alone, but she simply refuses to quit. The challenge of what she has taken on is slow. The setbacks are many. The opposition is immense. But just like William Wilberforce, she is going to persevere to eradicate human trafficking in our current system. We have to pause right here in our message, because it's great to hear about all these other people, isn't it? But we have to ask ourselves right here and right now, what was going on in the heart of William Wilberforce, of Christine Kane, of these magnificent world changers that gave them this deep-seated tenacity within their souls to never quit? Well, Romans 8 gives us a big clue. It says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And that's who we are this morning. May I suggest to you that these champions of faith had decided in their heart to dedicate their lives to God's kingdom purposes and not live a life that was all about them. It's all about me. It's all about my wants, my needs, my desires. They made a decision to do this, but it was very deliberate. It was very intentional. And they planned and organised their life, their finances, everything about their future. And they knew it was going to carry a great cost. But they actually determined. Because maybe they understood this statement. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. Let's continue on by looking at the lives of William and Catherine Booth, the founders of the Salvation Army. Social justice is nothing new, and there's a lot of talk about it today. And we get a glimpse into the heart of William Booth when we read some of his statements like, go straight for souls and go for the worst. He also says this, that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. I'm going to read that again. That the greatness of a man and woman's power is the measure of his surrender. And surrender his whole life. That's exactly what he did. In 1852, he is so passionate and burdened to win the lost multitudes of England that it drove him to walk the cold streets of London to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the poor, the homeless and the destitute. Sounds like something like's going on around here. I was so profoundly challenged as I was preparing this message by Booth's description of that call that he had on him. And I want to read it to you this morning, and I hope that you will feel so challenged and inspired as I did this week as I was looking at William's life. It says, "While women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. When men go to prison in and out as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end." Now here's William Booth, who is living this incredible life. But meanwhile, right near him, right next to him, we see the power of one through the eyes of his wife, Catherine, also, who completely, when you read her story, blows you away. She is this incredibly powerful preacher who goes into the homes of alcoholics and she preaches the gospel to them. But then when they accept Jesus, she doesn't just leave it there. She actually helps them to establish a whole new life once they've been converted, once they've been saved. Catherine Booth lobbies Queen Victoria for a legislation that will safeguard females for the protection of girls in that time. She was way ahead, wasn't she? She also, I could have you here all day telling you all of the amazing things she did, but she organised food for the million shops where the poor could come in and buy a cheap meal. And Catherine leaves an incredible legacy. This is the sort of legacy that she leaves. All over the world, there are rehabilitation centres in her name. There are rehabilitation centres, domestic violence shelters, residential support units for vulnerable families. And such was the impact of this one woman. But the interesting thing about her was she also had, by the way, 8 children. And so she is not allowing that to deter her from the passion that drove her. If you look at the Salvation Army today, and in Gosnells they're celebrating 100 years next week, I think, and have a look at what they are still achieving in the area of social justice, all because the power of one. Now, the Booths obviously were married, they worked together, but individually they achieved so much through the different calling and the gifting that was on their lives. Right now, today, in Western Australia, in 2021, we can see the power of one through the incredible vision of Peter Lyndon James and his ministry with Shalom House. He started off by initially just starting a rehabilitation centre for men, but has recently started up a woman's arm as well. And we've actually had, for those of you who maybe have seen, we've actually had the men and the women come here on a Sunday and join us for church. And we've seen how the broken lives, some of them have just come out of prison, and they have been transformed by the message of hope in Jesus Christ, but also from the support that they have received to help them to walk in that newness that they've experienced when they encounter God personally in their lives. So picture this scenario, if you will. A young woman, 20 years of age. Who's 20 years of age? Yes, thank you. I see that hand, Adrian, living a delusional life. Hayley's just turned 21. She was 20. But there is this woman and her name is Elizabeth Fry. She too is inspired by her faith in God. And she starts to visit a prison in England, and she sees the filthy, dirty, unsanitary, overcrowding. There are men and women sharing the same prison. There's not men's prisons and women's prisons. Can you imagine? And she starts a movement to change the prison systems of that time, because she believes that everybody deserves a chance and a second chance and a third chance to reform. So when she starts off this movement, one of the things that she does so that she gets a real feel for what it's like is she decides to spend a night in a prison so she can experience what they're experiencing. She brings in clean clothes and food, and she starts to encourage the prisoners to start taking better care of themselves, to have self-respect again. She gets them cleaning their own cells. She talks about hygiene. But also she offers them hope, and she starts lessons about self-respect, about having a sense of purpose and belonging, right alongside lessons on the Bible and the scriptures. Wait for this. Elizabeth and her husband, Mr. Fry, have 11 children. She must have been juggling a huge amount of different voices calling for her attention, but she didn't let that deter her from the calling on her life. Wow, what an inspiration, Elizabeth. We want to chat. We want to have a coffee in heaven. I want to meet you, because there's so much incredible determination there. Despite all of the different reasons why not, she didn't focus on those. She focused on all the reasons why she could, why she would. Yeah? Fast forward to Esperance in Western Australia, where for many, many years the Teen Challenge Rehabilitation Centre operates to help restore those coming out of prison with various forms of addictions, giving them hope through the message of Jesus. I've used a lot of examples. Your head might be spinning a bit. But I wanted to demonstrate to you the power of one. What one life can do to make a difference. But, you know, the greatest example of the power of one can be shown through the life of our Saviour Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on a human form and dwelt amongst us. Because you see, he understood the power of his Father God residing within him. And he became obedient to the call and destiny that he knew was upon his own life to change history forever. That would be your history and mine. And today, as Pastor David has already mentioned, is Palm Sunday. And we focus today on the fact that as Jesus walked into Jerusalem that day, he knew what was to come. He knew that amidst all of the hosannas and all that was being declared, that in order to change the world, the cost, the personal cost to him was going to be immense. But he laid down his life even to death. He knew that to obey his Father meant he would suffer an agonizing death to pay once and for all for the sins of mankind, to appease God's wrath, and to reconcile you and I back to our Father God. He conquered the power of death in the grave. He understood that one life, the power of one life dedicated to God and what he could achieve, not just for that time in history, but for all eternity. Amen? So you and I are here today, and there may be so many reasons that we can give for not fulfilling the power that is within us. Maybe you have tried genuinely, faithfully, so many times to fulfill the calling and the dream that you have within you. But can I say to you this morning, don't let your history interfere with your destiny. I'm going to say it again. Don't let your history interfere with your destiny. Amen? I love that. Keep stepping forward. Don't keep looking back over failures and disappointments and the would-bes and could-bes. You know, nobody spends their life looking in the rear vision mirror. And what I do know is this, and I have experienced great disappointments and failures in my own life, is that I know for me to live an extraordinary life requires stickability, determination, and a tenacity to never, ever quit. So can I encourage you this morning, because you know that every time I share with you, I want to give you something tangible that you can apply. It must be the teacher in me. And so this morning, I want to say to every one of you, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Use the opportunities, the spaces and the places that God has put you in and be the light there. Don't wait until you're the next William Wilberforce or Christine Kane. Chances are you probably won't be, but you can still start spreading and sharing the gospel. Start now. It doesn't matter how many years you've been a believer. Start now. Start where God has put you. Where has God put you? What about starting with simply loving your neighbour? Cook them a meal. Invite them out for a coffee. Don't go through the garage door where you don't see anybody. Yeah? You know the one that you do through the kitchen. I haven't got one of those, but through the kitchen so that you don't have to talk to anybody out here. Everyone's putting their head down. Don't wait until you are waiting for the right opportunity. Do it. Talk to them in your front garden when you get home from work. Facilitate a relationship. Be deliberate. Be purposeful in all your endeavours. Just don't, oh, well, you know, hope it happens today. Go out of your way to live an excessively generous life. Let's go against societal norms where we're hogging everything to ourselves and building up treasures on earth. Our treasure is not here, folks, it's in heaven. Live loud in giving away from yourself. Can I encourage all of you who have a gift of hospitality, and I know that so many of you do in this room today, to start inviting your friends, neighbours, and sometimes strangers for a meal in your home. We're living in a society that is so lonely, so isolated. You know, the meal you cook doesn't have to be lavish. It's the company and the friendship that will help people, not the sort of meal that you serve. Look out for ordinary, everyday opportunities to bless someone and show kindness. Don't always be in such a hurry to fulfill your daily agenda. You know, sometimes we like to kid ourselves that we're just way too busy. You just don't understand. But I'm just way too busy for that. Take moments throughout your day to stop and be aware of how God is wanting to use you to minister into other people's lives. And lean in to the Holy Spirit throughout your day. It only takes a moment. He's right there. And ask Him to guide you, to lead you. Let God know, hey, I'm ready, I'm available to be used today. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. You are not your own, for you have been redeemed at infinite cost. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to read a statement that was made by William Booth. And I'd actually like you, invite you to just bow your heads and close your eyes as I read this morning. This is the challenge that's going out. I haven't come today to preach a nice sermon. I've come to challenge every single one of you and of myself with this statement from William Booth. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come here. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the whole world.